You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mind Your Own Business. Well, you know me. This is Scott Sullivan, and I'm here every week, and I'm bringing you, I'm your guide and your Sherpa, if you will, and I say that every week, and this week it's even more apropos than it ever has been, and that is because we're going to be talking about travel today. You guys that know me, all of my listeners out there, you know I love to travel. You know, we talk about it a lot, and this time we're going to make it a little bit official, and it's going to be a whole ton of fun. And the reason is because I've always strived leaving little nuggets in the stream for you to pick up, things that make your life better every single week. And if you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, wherever you're going, there's probably some travel involved. So we're about to leave some nuggets in the stream for you. My guest today is a wonderful young lady who has had an adventurous life already, and her, let's just say she's a lot younger than me, but that's okay. So is half the world, or probably three quarters of the world. But we have a guest today that I am so excited to introduce you to. Her name is Julia Menez, and Julia is the CEO and founder of a site that you have to bookmark as soon as possible, and that's called GeoBreeze Travel. GeoBreezeTravel.com, and Julia Menez is the CEO and founder. And what exactly is that? It's a travel hacking site. She's a blogger. She's traveled to over 30 countries in the world, and she is absolutely an expert on that field. But it also transcends past travel into a lot of other parts of your life. Julia, welcome to Mind Your Own Business, and how the heck are you today?
I'm doing so great, Scott. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Well, you are somebody that we have been trying to get on the show for a long time because, you know, we've talked about it, how much I love other cultures and traveling and enjoying other cuisine and the cultural immersing myself in the local culture. And I love that so much. And I am so looking forward. I have picked up so many great helpful hints and lots of free information from your website, but I want to talk about it in depth today. So why don't you take just a couple of minutes? Most of my listeners know that we start off with the origin story, but before we do that, just take 5 minutes and tell us a little bit about GeoBreeze Travel, what it actually does, and what a travel hacker is, because so many of my listeners are like me. They're of that they're digital immigrants. They come from an analog world, and now we have found ourselves in a digital world. Some people call us baby boomers, but we find ourselves in a digital world, and we're kind of trying to adapt sometimes. And with the millennial generation, you guys just, you know, you were born into it, and you didn't have to put a matchbook in the corner of your 8-track tape player to make it play. So, and I know I'm dating myself. That's okay. I don't want to do that. But tell us a little bit about GeoBreeze Travel and what it is kind of you do, and then we'll get into the origin story.
Sure. So travel hacking, I guess we can start there. Travel hacking is the art of getting free travel by leveraging the different loyalty programs set by credit card companies or airlines or hotels. And then travel hackers are people who like to travel hack, and it can actually, as you mentioned, transcend past that into more of a travel hacking lifestyle, where you can use a lot of the different skills and principles learned through travel hacking for pretty much anything else. And some of the principles that I like to focus on, all three of them start with P, and I call them the 3 points of the travel hacking lifestyle. So first of all, there's strategic planning, which you need in order to plan any trip for free. There's also creative problem solving, because the rules and regulations and different offers and different credit cards that are available for travel hacking, those are constantly changing, and you need to keep up with your information, and sometimes things don't go as expected, and you need to kind of think on your feet when travel hacking. So creative problem solving is a must as well. And then there's also just pausing to take a break, because I know that so many of us these days are always just constantly on the move, always going, and we never really take time to appreciate what we've been working so hard for. And it's the same with travel hacking, where sometimes people spend so much effort to get all of the different points and miles so they can travel for free, but then they're afraid to actually use those points to get the free travel. So I like to help people to let go of the hoard of points that they've worked so hard for as well, and to actually utilize them to get the free travel that they worked so hard for. So that's just a little bit about what is travel hacking and the travel hacking lifestyle. It is a growing hobby on the internet. It is rapidly increasing in popularity, even with all that is going on with COVID and the travel restrictions. Once all of this is lifted, travel will come back. But a lot of people might not be able to afford to go on the vacations that they had previously planned on going to. And so travel hacking can be really, really helpful in that sense, if you can just take the trip for free.
Well, that's, first of all, I'm amazed, because I have learned so much just reviewing your website and reading some of your, you know, posts and some of the things that you're doing. But I want to make sure I'm clear on this, because so you're saying travel hacking is travel for free, but some of the stuff I've learned from you are not only just, I mean, not 100% free, but they're just things that make life simpler, right? That just, they may not cost you anything to do it, but I'm not talking about free miles. I'm not talking about, you know, free airline tickets or whatever, but I'm talking about the actual, like you talk about planning and preparation. There are so many resources that you have brought to bear for me that I've looked at that I didn't even know existed. I mean, being able to go to the United States government and our State Department and get resources that I didn't even know. I mean, I would say the vast majority of Americans don't even know those resources are available to us, and things that, so it's not just about the free travel. It's also about each of those P's and each of the points that you're going through, because there's all kinds of little hints and tidbits and things that make life easier. Is that right? I mean, is that part of the hacking culture?
I would say it's definitely part of the travel hacking mindset. And as you mentioned, it can be applied to anything. As long as you can come up with a vision of where you want to go, whether that's a physical destination somewhere on the planet or just a goal that you want to accomplish at work or with your home life. Once you have a vision of where you want to go and you can come up with some kind of project plan or steps in order to make progress towards that goal, whether that is apply for this credit card so that you can get these miles so you can go to a country for free, or like I said, pretty much anything else in life, that is such an important skill set for anybody to have, whether or not you're into traveling. There's also so many other aspects to travel hacking that helps just your general lifestyle. So for example, travel hackers are really, really good with personal finances. And if you do travel hacking correctly, it will super boost your credit score, because you will just have a much better understanding of how credit scores are even calculated. So just between those two things, if you become much better at project planning and strategic planning and getting your goals, and then also personal finance, that's two huge wins for anybody.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. So how did you get into this? I want to talk a little bit about the origin story, because, I mean, first of all, to have just had the time and the energy and the finances and all the planning and everything it takes to go to 30 plus countries around the world, even when you're combining multiple countries in the same trip, it's still a lot. I mean, I know people, I mean, I grew up in Kentucky, and I know people literally in my circle of influence that don't even own a passport. And to me, that is just so crazy foreign that they are born, raised, and die within a 100-mile radius of where they were born. So it's like, to me, that's just a foreign concept. But my question then is around this, how did this culture and this, you know, process and this system find its way to you as you were growing up? I mean, were your mom and dad huge travelers? Did they carry you around and, you know, to other countries? How did you get this love of just visiting all of these other countries and cultures?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I grew up in the middle of America in Blue Springs, Missouri, and we're close to Kansas City Airport, so a little bit of travel growing up. My parents immigrated from the Philippines to the United States. And so growing up, we went to the Philippines maybe once every 8 years, but that was really the only travel I had aside from one trip to London or a lot of different parts of England. And then I studied abroad in China, and that was really it until I graduated from college. So we didn't have a ton of travel when I was growing up, but every time we did travel, I absolutely loved it. I loved getting to experience other parts of the world, even though I was already pretty familiar with the Filipino culture and I already spoke English like everybody in the UK. It was still so fascinating to me to be able to explore new places. And I knew I wanted to do this more. And studying abroad in China opened so many different doors for me as well, for just expanding my horizons. But travel can get expensive for people, and it also, as you mentioned, takes a lot of time. And I spent most of my 20s studying for actuarial exams, since I'm an actuary in my day job, and was trying to do all of the responsible decisions with my career and money and not spending too much. And it does get a little bit burdensome doing that, because then you kind of become convinced that you have to just keep working all of the hours, try to save all the money, make all of the responsible decisions. And eventually one day I was done with actuarial exams. And then each of these exams takes hundreds of hours of studying. So one day you're done and then you say, what am I going to do with all of my time now? So
you got your life back.
I know. I'm like, now that I have my life again, what should I do with it? And my husband introduced me to some different bloggers who blog about this thing called FIRE, which stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. And within the FIRE blogs, the bloggers like to specialize in different aspects of the FIRE lifestyle. So some might be really into how you can optimize your taxes or hack your taxes legally, of course. And then some are really into budgeting and how to like run a minimalist home. And some are into travel hacking, where maybe they are digital nomads and they're just living off of $1,000 a month or less by living somewhere cheap like Thailand or Costa Rica. And this was absolutely fascinating to me. The thought of just being able to travel for either really cheap or mostly for free. But also they seemed to have really nice lives. They were staying in nice hotels. They weren't flying really scary looking old planes. They were on regular planes that looked really nice. So I wanted to know, how are they doing this and how are they traveling for free? And they kept talking about travel hacking through different credit cards. And I had a very similar first reaction as most people, which is, this is probably a scam. Because if you have the word hacking and credit card in the same description, there's probably something to give you pause. So it took me a little bit of time actually to really get comfortable with the idea of applying for all of these credit cards to get free travel and how to get into the travel hacking game. But eventually, slowly and surely, we applied for like one card and maybe two and saw that it did not wreck our credit scores. Our credit scores actually ended up doing much better after getting to travel hacking. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But what really sealed the deal for me was my husband and I had booked a trip to Morocco. And 20 hours before we were going to board our flight, our tour guide, who was handling our hotel and excursions and was driving us everywhere, he had to cancel on us about 20 hours before we boarded this plane, and we had to figure out accommodations and everything else within a day. So thankfully, we had just gotten one of our sign-up bonuses through one of our credit cards, and then we're able to stay at the Sheraton in Casablanca for basically for free, which was an amazing hotel, and it was low season, so they were able to upgrade us for free as well. We had access to their club lounge with free breakfast and amazing pastries and everything. So from there, we were very much hooked, and I thought, how can we just keep getting free travel all of the time? And it's just kind of taken off from there.
That's an amazing story, because that's exactly, there's so many people out there. Now, I want to caution. I guess the cautionary tale that I'm asking, though, is, I mean, you happen to be living in the Northeast in a state that, much like I'm calling you, or we're having this conversation from California, you're not in a state that has a low tax bracket. You're not in a state that has low rents and low mortgage payments and low. I mean, you're not. This isn't like you're living on $1,000 a week. Now, I just want to be clear. I mean, you're not a digital nomad. I'm assuming you have a house or a place to live, and you have a job, but this is a goal that you have. So you've made this a goal in your life to have these trips. And how far out do you plan? Do you have a postcard hanging on your bulletin board that says Morocco 18 months before you get to go there? Or how does that come about?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's been different over the last few years, and especially now with COVID, like everything's up in the air. Oh, yes, but course, previously, yeah. We had a goal of traveling to every inhabited continent. So we've been everywhere except for Antarctica, and Morocco was probably the cheapest one to get to in Africa. And we were actually not in New Jersey at the time. We were in Colorado. So looking for flights from Colorado to anywhere in Africa is really challenging, but we were able to get some flights to Morocco. So after we had been to the 6 inhabited continents, the next goal was to hit 30 countries by 30. So then we started optimizing our trips for how can we hit multiple countries within one trip? Can we take advantage of stopover deals where maybe a flight is a little bit cheaper if you have to stay in a country overnight or for 18 hours? And so one time we were staying in Bali, Indonesia, and we had a pretty long layover in Taiwan, which was fantastic because we got off the plane, went to a night market, got to eat real dinner, slept in a real bed, and then went back to the airport the next day. So we got to experience an additional country and get the country count up while going on our vacation to Bali, and saved a little bit of money on our flight that way, since the long stopover flights tend to be a little bit cheaper. So it just depends on what you are optimizing for and what metrics you want to track. These days, I'm not as obsessed with the country count. And so we probably start planning things maybe 4 months out. And really, I just look for flight deals, either using skyscanner.com or just if there's some kind of promotion through one of my credit cards that comes up, or if I read a blog post that says, hey, there are some cheap flights to Netherlands or Mexico or something like that, then we can just have the flexibility to jump on those flights. And since we have a lot of different hotel points, then we can get free stays if the flight is cheap enough, and then we can stay in hotels for free. So that's kind of our planning heuristics in a world where we're not quarantined to our apartment.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Now, I have a couple of other questions regarding that, because I've been doing a little research since you have been booked on the show, and I've been excited to have you on here. And I actually watched a video, and I want to know if this is a true, you know, how sometimes on the internet, some things get, you know, there's a little bit of hyperbole sometimes. Now, I'm just trying to be tongue in cheek there, but I watched a video of a man who literally he calls it a flight to nowhere. If there's a super cheap, super, super cheap flight, like $69 round trip on X airline, and I'm not going to mention anybody by name, but there are things like that that actually give you more miles. The value in miles are worth more than the pay that you actually pay for the flight. He says, and again, this is part of what he says in his, you know, video blog, is that he'll go take the 6 a.m. flight out of his local airport on that flight for a round trip, and he'll read a book or whatever, and he'll go to the airport and hang out for a couple hours and have lunch and turn around and come back, literally to get the miles. Is that part of the hacking lifestyle?
It can be for some people. I personally don't do mileage runs, but I have heard of people who do similar things with hotels, where maybe if you are just one or two nights away from the next tier in hotel status, and then that tier jump will get you a lot of different bonus points, or suddenly you're eligible for suite upgrades, or they give you some kind of annual gift, or roll out a red carpet, or give you really fancy free breakfast at the next tier. And you think, oh, well, there's a cheap hotel near my house. Maybe I just spend $100 some dollars for one or two nights, and then check into the hotel. Don't even stay there, but then it just counts towards your qualifying nights so that you can move up to the next tier. I have heard of people doing that as well. So there are many, many different tricks and avenues in the travel hacking lifestyle. There's so many different creative problem solving things that people come up with these days.
Okay. I just wondered. That was one of the questions I was waiting to ask you. Okay. So we now understand how you kind of got into this and got a little bit of the bug, and you've now, you know, started, you know, the process in your life, and you've decided, okay, I want to do 30 countries by the time I'm 30. I want to do, you know, you had these goals in mind, and now you talk about the 4-month, you know, kind of planning cycle for what you're doing. Does the destination only matter because you look for the price of a flight? Because I tell people in my sales, I do sales public speaking. I go out and teach people, you know, sales and marketing. And one of the things I talk about is that, you know, if you walk up to an airline counter and say, give me your cheapest flight, then that's a difference between give me your cheapest flight to New York, right? Because if you're asking for a specific destination, you're narrowing the parameter, and that makes the offering different. But if you just walk up and say, give me the cheapest flight, so is the destination predicated on how cheap of a flight you can get or free, or is the destination chosen and then you build around that through the others? I've always wondered that, as far as a, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
We've done both ways. So more likely we will set the destination and plan around that if my husband and I are traveling with literally anyone else. So if it's a family trip or we're meeting up with some friends, then we do set a destination and some dates.
Yes.
And that makes it a little bit more challenging to get everything for free, because the more flexible you can be with location or dates, the more likely you can find a great deal. If it's just the two of us and we're open to anywhere warm, or we know that, oh, we want to take a vacation in February to escape the winter, but we don't really know where to go, my favorite resource has been Skyscanner, because they actually have a feature where you can just say, I'm going from Newark Airport to anywhere the month of February, and they will scrape the internet for whatever flights happen to be cheap to anywhere in the time frame that you've allotted for. So we have jumped on, or we have booked some flights to some random countries just from seeing there's a cheap flight.
So that's it. Very interesting, because it has always intrigued me about the people that can do that, because I go onto a travel website, or I go onto a, you know, American Airlines or whoever I'm flying, and I will put in where I want to go and what time, and, you know, kind of the parameters around my travel, and it'll, and, you know, and then almost all of my frequent flyer accounts have a place where it's sort of like, pick your destination, pick some, because what they're trying to do obviously is they're trying to market to you, and mm-hmm. I will be just sitting at my computer randomly on a Tuesday, and I'll get an email from, you know, XYZ Airlines. It'll say, you know, one way from San Francisco to Bali for $39.95. And you're going, man, if I didn't have anything to do this weekend, I could just go jump. It's cheaper to fly to Bali than it is to fly to New York City. And that's because everybody wants to go to New York City, and for whatever reason, nobody wants to go to Bali today. So, I mean, that literally is what you guys can do. You do that.
Yes, we can. We are not as flexible as some people who can say, oh, let's go this weekend. But if it's a few months out, then we can apply for vacation time with our day jobs, because my husband and I both have day jobs, and it's generally not ever a problem as long as it's a few months out. But yeah, some people have the flexibility to say, oh, I'm not doing anything this weekend or next week. Let's jump on a flight to Italy. And that's a really cool lifestyle as well, where people do have the freedom to do that and the flexibility to do that.
That is just really, really, really cool. Okay, so if you had to give somebody, if you had to give our listeners right now, just, you've already shared with us the three P's, the 3 points that you made about the planning and making sure you take a pause and preparation and all the things that go along with that. Let's talk about, if you just had to give like 2 pieces of advice that you have learned traveling to all these countries and everything else, what would you say to just anybody who says, I want to do more you know, I want to do more of what you're doing. I want to experience X, or I want to go here or do that. What is the number one piece of advice that you give newcomers? Because the people that are listening to this show right now, some of them are extremely well-seasoned business travelers, which means somebody else is paying for the trip, right? And we're accumulating those points because my company is paying me to go X, and I'm using my personal, you know, account to get those miles accumulated. And then I, as a perk of my job, I get to spend them, you know, how I see fit. And I think that's part of what you're talking about, the point hoarding, because it kind of comes with the territory. We're used to somebody else paying for it. But what would be the one piece of advice that you would tell just anybody that wanted to do this on their own?
So I have two pieces of advice.
Please.
The first one is be as specific as you can get with your goals and where you want to go and who you want to go with, if you know around what time of year. And it does help to be flexible, but if you can be specific about, like, I want to go on a European trip somewhere near the coastline around this time of year, it really does help to narrow down your travel hacking strategy, because then you can pick things like, who even flies there from my home airport? So what airlines am I looking at? What credit cards can even transfer points to those airlines? And then if you know where you want to travel to, then you can look at what hotels are available there. So maybe it's an area where there are a lot of different Hilton hotels, but no Hyatt hotels. So then you would want to tailor your travel hacking strategy more towards Hilton cards if you wanted to stay in free hotels. So that's my first step. My first tip is be as specific as you can with your travel goals, because it makes it so much easier to come up with a plan if you know the direction you want to go into. Because I'm sure all of us have had some kind of work project where somebody says some inspirational words into the air, and then you all walk out going, cool, what are we going to do now? And nobody knows the direction to go into. It's kind of the same way with travel hacking. So the more specific you can get with where you want to go, the easier it is to come up with a plan to do that. And then my second piece of advice is that you should always write to the hotel before you get there. So whenever you make a booking with a hotel, maybe a week or 10 days before you actually get to the hotel, send the hotel an email to let them know you're coming, because one, this confirms your reservation just in case for any reason they might have lost your reservation. This locks you in and you can deal with any problems ahead of time before you get to the hotel. And then also you can let them know if you're celebrating some kind of birthday or anniversary or anything. And then, especially if you have loyalty status with the hotel, they're more likely to give you upgrades. And there's actually some different tricks that you can write to get you a free upgrade at a hotel. And that brings me to, I have a free gift for all of your listeners today. If they want to go to geobreezetravel.com/inspired, I have a free travel hacking video training and also an email upgrade template for them. And this is the email upgrade template that I have used in so many places around the world. Our best win was in Maui. We actually saved more than $1,000 at the Grand Wailea in Maui. We got $1,000 of hotel stay for free using this template. We've used it in Copenhagen, Singapore, Malaysia, Las Vegas, all over the United States, Mexico. And so many people have gotten a lot of good use out of the email upgrade template. So I hope everybody just goes to geobreezetravel.com/inspired and downloads this.
Well, we will make sure it's in the show notes. And when you were at the Grand Wailea, did they still have the water elevator in the pool in the slide?
They did not have the water elevator going. I know what you're talking about because I saw it, but I think it was off the time we were there. But it was such an amazing hotel. We had a free hotel night certificate through one of our Hilton cards. And so obviously, if somebody gives you a free certificate, your first reaction is, where's the most expensive hotel I can use this at? And the answer is the Grand Wailea. It starts at $500, and we were able to use the upgrade template to get into a $900 per night room. And it came with free breakfast and free cocktail hour, which is basically dinner. And they gave us $1,000 or $100 worth of like champagne and different local treats and stuff. So That's an amazing
beautiful
experience.
Hotel. My wife and I have stayed there ourselves, actually. It's been, we love that hotel. I had the opportunity to work on Maui for quite a few years, and we have stayed at that hotel many times. And I will tell you, it is a beautiful hotel. And that's not just a plug. It used to be a Sheraton. I don't know. You said it's a Hilton now. I didn't know it's owned by Hilton. It used to be a Sheraton. So, yes. But that's fantastic. That's an absolute, first of all, it's fantastic that you did that. So that is, of course, geobreezetravel.com and then /inspired, and you'll get the free gift just for going there. And I really appreciate that. That's super fantastic. But there's also tons of information on the geobreezetravel.com website, and you'll get to see all of that. There's a whole page of freebies. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there that you get all this great information. All you got to do is just go there and sign up. So make sure that you sign up to be part of the things that are going on with Julia and her geobreezetravel.com. So that is awesome. My guest today is the CEO and founder of what we just mentioned, geobreezetravel.com. She is a travel hacking expert, and she's helping us and sharing with us some of the information that we need to help make our lives a little bit better and enjoy life just a little bit better. And I love what you say on your website when you say, are you living your best life? What are the things that you could do? So there's no need with Julia, you get to know her and you get to know her travel hacks, and there's no need to ever, you know, be in that, you know, horrible room and that with a no view looking at a brick wall. And, you know, because now all of a sudden you can find yourself living your best life and not costing you any more money, if at all. It might actually be free. So fantastic, Julia. I'm so glad that you're here. So what's next for, you know, for GeoBreeze? Where do you go from here? Once you get your neophytes like me enrolled and I'm starting to learn, how do you, you know, what do you offer me next? And then how do I engage with you? And where does this go from here?
Yeah, great question. So I actually have two different ways that somebody could engage further. So one, as you mentioned, is just all of the free advice on the blog. And then also I'm very active on Instagram at GeoBreezeTravel. So if somebody is just kind of looking to learn a little bit more about the travel hacking lifestyle and get some easy tips here or there, I would say definitely check out the blog and the Instagram. If somebody says, oh, I don't want to take the time to learn how to travel hack on my own using all your free advice, can I just have all of the information ready to go? Can you just do it for me and formulate a travel hacking plan? I offer that as well. So I offer a coaching service where if you have a particular trip that you want to travel hack, or even if you just want to have the goal of get as many points and miles as possible for future use, I can coach on that. And so the way that it works is once you tell me your travel goals, I will prepare a personalized travel hacking plan for you. It's a 12-month plan, and it tells you what credit cards would be best for you to meet your travel goals, when you should apply for these different credit cards, what you should use the credit cards for. It also comes with a whole bunch of different travel hacking resources and spending guides, and different tips and tricks from how to always remember what card to use for any given purchase, how to keep track of how many points you even have, how to track how many credit cards you've applied for, because there's different rules about how many you can apply for within a particular amount of time. So I offer that coaching service as well.
Excellent. Okay. So what is your opinion on, so you talk about specific cards for specific goals. So if you have, let's say we go back to the question of you want to be specific, because that was one of your tips. You said be as specific as possible. So if I say, you know, I'm very specific and I want to do this, you know, at some point in my life, whether it's 18 months or a year or 2 years from now, whatever it is, and I'm very specific, do you then recommend canceling some cards and applying for others or applying for others? I mean, is there I guess the first question would be, is there any such thing as too many cards that you could get? Because that seems like it would have a negative effect on your credit score eventually because of the debt to income ratio. But do you apply for very specific cards for that specific trip, and then when the trip's over, you go do something else?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So there can be too many cards, but mostly due to the annual fees and not due to credit reasons. So a lot of the travel hacking cards are not free. They might cost $90 a year or so. I've seen any that were from, some are free, up to like $500 or more per year just in annual fees. And you want to make sure that if you're holding onto a card year over year, that you can justify that fee. So for example, a lot of the hotel credit cards, let's say the Marriott card, costs $95 a year, but you get one free Marriott hotel night with that card on your card anniversary each year. As long as you can find a hotel room that costs $95 or more that's eligible and you stay at that room, then you've already justified having that credit card because you got more in free hotel than you spent on the annual fee.
Okay, so I'm really mad right now. You've just totally upset me because I'm a Marriott card holder. I have a black Marriott card, which is just like everybody else's, I'm sure. And I did not know that I got a free night on my anniversary. So I pay the $95 every year. I know I do because I every time it comes due, I go, do I really need this card?
Yeah, so, it's so important to know the different benefits that you can get with your card and to make sure that you are maximizing your benefits because some cards have very random benefits. Like some of them might have TSA PreCheck that you can get for free. Or I have the American Express Platinum card, which is a whopping $550 a year, I think. But in order to justify that, they have $200 a year of airline incidental fees that you can get for free, $200 a year of Uber or Uber Eats credits, $100 of Saks Fifth Avenue. And then sometimes they'll just throw in random things. Like just today, I got this Fitbit in the mail that I ordered because they basically sent me $100 off at Dell and a Fitbit was less than $100. So my husband and I each got one, came out to $20 for two Fitbits. So as long as you're keeping track of the different benefits that you can get through each card and you're utilizing those, then it's worth it to keep the card.
And the credit card company, though, is just they're just banking on the fact is that a guy like me would sign up for that and not take advantage of those $600 or $700 or $800 worth of benefits for a $500 fee. Because, I mean, the cards that give you cash back are basically just trading that. They're giving you their 2% or 1% back at the Discovers, the Capital. This isn't a commercial for credit cards, but the ones that give you cash back are basically just saying, I'm giving you the rewards that you would normally get. I'm giving it to you in cash. So how do you feel about the cash cards versus, I mean, does that 1% actually pay for anything? Is it worth anything?
So I would say if you're using a cashback card, you can definitely find one that's at least 1.5%. But there are also tricks in the travel hacking world where sometimes you can link a cashback card with a travel card to bank even more travel points. So for example, I have a Chase Inc. Preferred card, or this also works with Chase Sapphire Preferred or Chase Sapphire Reserve. So those are travel point cards because they give you access to the Chase Ultimate Rewards portal, which you can redeem for free flights and such. I also have a Chase Freedom card, which is a cashback card. And if I just had that on its own, I could only get it for cashback. But since I have it linked to the same account as my Chase Inc. business card, I can transfer points from my Chase Freedom card to the Chase Inc. and then suddenly they are travel points instead of just cashback points. So there are tricks like that as well to leverage cashback for even more than they're supposedly worth through cashback if you can get good travel redemptions.
You just make me madder and madder and madder because I also have a Chase Freedom card.
You have a Chase Sapphire Preferred.
I don't have any of those other ones. So I'm just mad because I thought my whopping 1% or 1.5%. I mean, you know, and it's so funny is when you get that credit in the bank or in your statement, and you get that credit that says, hey, you just earned $250 or whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, that was free money, but it wasn't free money. It wasn't. I mean, theoretically, it's my money that I should be getting from in a different direction. So I am definitely signing up today for coaching. Because I'm going to need it. The last question, I have a couple of others, but one of the last questions is, so are you and your husband the family that buys everything on a credit card? You do your groceries, you buy, if you can't, you know, if you get a furnace or if you can't buy it on a credit card, you don't buy it? I mean, is that kind of the lifestyle? Because you know you're going to pay for it, and you just basically buy yourself 30 days, and you're going to pay for it anyway, and you're going to get the points. I mean, are you living that kind of lifestyle?
As much as we can, we try to buy everything on credit cards, especially because it also helps us to track our spending, where if it's cash, it's hard to track. But you made a really good point that, yeah, you have to pay it off within 30 days because travel hacking cards have really, really high interest rates. So for anybody who wants to get into travel hacking, if you've been listening thus far and you're thinking, I really want to do this, I would say first, make sure that you don't have any credit card debt and that you already understand how to use credit cards responsibly. Because if you are carrying a balance from month to month, then you have to pay interest on it. And the interest you pay will erode at the benefits that you're getting from using these travel hacking credit cards. So if you're going to be paying a ton of money in interest from month to month anyway, it's just best to stay away from travel hacking credit cards until you have wiped out all of that debt, just to make sure. I don't want people to sign up for travel hacking if it's going to lead them down a deep, dark hole of credit card debt. So that's kind of my plug for responsible personal finance before getting into travel hacking.
Well, which is what, after this show, we're going to talk about FIRE, because I want to definitely talk to your husband and his team, because I truly, truly believe in the FIRE mentality. And I one of the greatest things my father taught me, you know, 40 years ago was the miracle of compound interest. The miracle of paying yourself before you pay your bills and those kind of things. So yes, if you're not, you know, if you're not already responsible enough to handle your own personal finances, you sure as heck don't want to put everything you own on a credit card. But the reason I ask is because I do know people, and I guess I should have asked more questions, but I do know families that do that. They pay for their, and I have a hard time. I go to the grocery store and I'm figuring out, why would I want to put $300 worth of groceries on my credit card? And then, you know, what I find out is because my buddy, he says, well, because I get the miles. But as long as you're going to pay it off before it comes due, or at the time that it comes due, you're not paying any interest on it, and you're buying yourself in 30 days on the float. You're going to pay for it anyway. It's actually better. You're getting a benefit from it than paying if you were just paying with cash or a debit card, which makes total sense. And I love that. That is fantastic. So then I have a couple of other questions about, so how do you feel about packages and timeshares and those things that we're all kind of exposed to in travel? Like, if you know, you see those packages on TV at 3 o'clock in the morning, it says for $699 per person, you get a, you know, 5 nights in a hotel and airfare, and you get, you know, tours, and they take you around and they show you. So come and see Italy for $699 or whatever. What are those packages really worth it? Or is that something that can be a modified travel hack?
I would say that those packages tend to be better than booking everything at regular price, added all together. But if you can travel hack part of it, then it's going to be better to travel hack. And there's actually different ways around this too. So for example, the Capital One Venture card, you can just reimburse yourself with travel with those points, rather than saying, I'm going to buy a flight with my points. You would incur some kind of travel expenses and then pay yourself back and like wipe it from your credit card statement. And that works pretty well with those types of packages. With timeshares, we don't have a timeshare. I am told that like for certain ones, because Hyatt has their timeshare program and IHG has their timeshare program, that if you put it on an IHG credit card, you can get IHG points for doing that. I have not personally tried it. The closest we've come to timeshares is we've sat through a lot of timeshare presentations just because they offered us like a free Hilton night or a free Hyatt night or something like that. So we have done that with timeshares. And it can sometimes make sense, but it's really just important to do the math, which is a common theme in travel hacking, is know what you want to optimize for and know what's important to you. Because some people, like you mentioned, the mileage runs, if you don't even need the flight points or anything and you hate sitting on planes, then don't jump on planes every chance you get just to get more miles to get on planes that you don't want to go on. Like, maybe you instead want to take one really fancy vacation each year in first class and then stay in a nice hotel afterwards and pool all of your points for one nice plane ride, rather than taking 10 free plane rides that you're going to hate every single one of those. So it's really important to know what you want to optimize for. You mentioned, do we spend everything on credit cards? Somebody in my apartment was selling a SodaStream for $30 in cash. And so I said, yes, I'm going to just pay this person $30 in cash because that makes more sense than paying $100 with my credit card where I could get maybe 5% back, maybe 7% if I use cashback portals and something else. So that brings it to what, $93? It's much better, just a much better financial decision to just pay the $30 in cash to get the thing that I want.
Excellent. Okay. And then, so that makes perfect sense. So it's really about the math and it's about doing the calculations and the return on investment. But travel hacking doesn't just mean airfare and hotels. It also, can you travel hack cruises? Can you travel hack, the river cruises and some of the things? And then also, what about just day trips or weekend trips where you're actually driving? And I mean, are there other travel hacks that you can do that don't include jumping on an airfare? Maybe it's a, you know, free nights at a ski resort or something. Are there other things that we should know about?
Yeah, so you can definitely travel hack cruises and excursions and theme parks and things like that. One of the ways to do that is the Capital One Venture. Another one is the Chase Sapphire Reserve comes with $300 of just travel credits each year. So if you incur at least $300 of travel anything, which if you have that card, you probably spend more than $300 a year on travel, it just gets wiped from your statement. So if you want to have a cruise, that's a really good way to get some money back for your cruise. One of the things that's not really airfare or hotels, but is a really, really nice travel perk is lounge access at airports. So rather than being in general population and having to eat an $18 sandwich off of a styrofoam plate, a lot of times travel hackers get access to lounges in airports where they have free food and free alcoholic drinks in a nice, quiet, peaceful, well-decorated area. So they get to wait out for their flight there. So that's another perk that I like. But really any type of travel, there's probably some way to travel hack it. I've heard that the Chase Sapphire Reserve travel credits will also pay for like toll booths or parking tickets. Sometimes people have said it's paid for all sorts of different things that have somehow coded as travel on their credit card statement.
Well, it has been an absolute fascinating hour. I am so excited to have you as a guest. So we've already mentioned that if you are listening to the sound of our voice right now and you are just completely intrigued like I am, and you want to get more information, you simply go to geobreezetravel.com. And in this particular case, put in /inspired and you're going to get a free gift from Julia. And she is the CEO and founder of GeoBreeze Travel. And we have been talking all about travel hacking. And it has been fascinating. I mean, absolutely fascinating. I'm so intrigued. I love to travel and I love the fact is just the things you mentioned are all the things that I love, you know, being able to go to the lounge instead of having to wait in the, you know, boarding area at the gate and how crowded it is and all those are all just wonderful perks that I didn't even know were able to get hacked. Like you were able to hack that and get a free pass or get a companion pass or do all those other things that you're going to do anyway, just going to get it paid for you. That's fantastic. So I am so, so thankful for you hanging out with us here today. Is there any other thing that you want to share with our listeners right before we go? Is there any last little tidbit or obviously we're going to send everybody to geobreezetravel.com to take a look at that. But is there anything else that you want them to know this weekend before they, you know, jump in their car and go put on their mask and go somewhere? Is there any last minute thing they need to know, that last thing you put in the car before you leave?
Yeah. So some people don't want to jump into the credit card pieces of travel hacking right away, where if it's either because of credit card debt or something else. And so they might just say, oh, well, it's not even worth it for me to learn how to travel hack. But there are so many different things that don't even involve applying for a credit card. One of those is that hotel upgrade email template that I mentioned. Another one is learning different cashback portals. So there's a cashback portal called Rakuten that I'm a huge fan of. And right now they have something going on where you can get an easy $30 by signing up, and then you can refer a friend and then you both get $30. So it's a really easy $90 for any couples who want to sign up for Rakuten right now.
Oh, I know. That's the one that I've seen them, the TV commercials. So Rakuten is a, what you call it? What kind of portal did you call it?
Cashback portal or shopping portal online.
Okay. So I can pay with whatever, however, but if you're on Rakuten, then you are probably already using a credit card anyway, right?
Yeah. And so you can do what's called double dipping points, where you would get cash back through the online shopping portal and then also for the credit card that you're using online. Okay. So if it's something where you're normally getting just 2% back anyway, and then you might get another 2% through the shopping portal, then you get 4% effectively.
Excellent. So I'm going to tell everybody right now, if you're listening to the sound of our voice and you've been intrigued, go to geobreezetravel.com. Absolutely peruse the website in every detail. Go to every page and look at it. Check out her blog. Her blog is fantastic. I will tell you, I have read several of the articles, several of her posts, and it's like every single one of them are just these giant chunks of gold, and it is free. It's right there. All you have to do is take 5 minutes to read it and understand it. But there's also multiple opportunities to sign up and give Julia your credit card. I mean, give her your email address and your name, and she'll give you all kinds of free information, which is fantastic. I'm already a recipient of that, and I'm already kicking myself for the things that I haven't been doing it for the last 10 years. So that's wonderful. But from that's where you can engage now. So because she has a contact me page there, there's a way for you to get engaged. That allows you to bring Julia into your life to be able to start to dip your toe into this travel hacking world. So if you're like me and you're thinking, you know, I just don't know enough about this, which I am learning fast, then this is the place to do that. And then secondly, if you're already a travel hacker, you're already what I would call a seasoned professional, then you and Julia are going to be birds of a feather. You're going to be fast friends, because she's going to just put you on steroids. And I am super excited. Definitely check her out on Instagram at GeoBreezeTravel. Of course, you know, she's got a Facebook page. Of course, it's called GeoBreezeTravel also. All of those places you can find her, and she's just giving you these tons of free nuggets of information that's just laying there on the ground. All you gotta do is go over and pick it up. So Julia, thank you so much for being a guest today. I really truly truly appreciate it. Thank you for taking an hour out of your life to help us be better travelers and to help us live our best life, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been such a great conversation, and I hope that your listeners find so much value out of what we've discussed here tonight.
Oh, they will. I appreciate it. And I say it every week, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If you're listening to me and Julia talk about travel and you're intrigued, I love the fact that you're there, because I could not do what I do without you, the listener. I appreciate you so very much each and every week. Please jump on social media. Find me at Sales with Sully at all those same places, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, all of those places that you'll find Julia at GeoBreeze. You can GeoBreeze Travel. You can also find me at Sales with Sully. I am there. And I want to thank, most importantly, my platform, the place that, you know, all of my listeners go every week. And I from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate it. Inspired News Radio is the place that we put all of our shows up. Now, of course, you can find my shows anywhere on Apple, Spotify, all the other places, wherever you get your podcasts, that they're always there. And it's called Mind Your Own Business. If you just type that in, that's where you'll get it. But the easiest, fastest, quickest way to find it is simply go to inspirednewsradio.com. The place where positive programs are delivered to the world that are designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. And every single week, we put out this show just for you. I really sincerely appreciate the folks over at Inspired News Radio. If you know anybody that wants to be a guest, or if you want to just pass this along and tell other people to be a listener, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And if you'll just scroll right down to the bottom of that page and leave a like or a review, that lets me know that you're listening and that you want to know more. And I really, really appreciate it. But keep those cards and letters coming through all of those social medias. And until next time, like I always say at the end of every show, is mind your own business, because nobody else is going to.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs of the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.